Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us for the inaugural episode of Mean Business. I am Robert Brathe. I am the founder of Brathe Enterprises. At our company, your start is our art. We help start businesses, start careers, and help people start learn something new. What our company is about is those three foundations. So starting businesses, we help people with business plans, project management plans, and giving them advice and guidance through some personal training on how to get their business off the ground or growing. We also help start people on the learning path, and we do deliver a number of customized classes and training programs online, in person, and in a hybrid format. And we also start careers. We have our virtual internship program, which you'll hear about from time to time, and we'll have some guests on from our internship program featuring the latest stories and areas that we live in, including entrepreneurship, project management, and human resources. You can reach us at our show in a variety of ways. You can call in at 516-387-1411. Again, that's 516-387-1411. You can also Skype us at Robert Brathe. You can find us on Twitter at Robert J. Brathe. That's B-R-A-A-T-H-E. We also have a company Twitter handle at Brathe E-N-T. You can also schedule a time to talk with me at meetme.so/Robert Brathe. We're always up for questions about these three topics of entrepreneurship, project management, and human resources. And we also have a fun segment to end every show called The Insultant, where we'll talk about a topic that really annoys the hell out of us. Today will be about people that call themselves things, and we'll get to that a little bit later in the show. Some of the questions that came in this week were around entrepreneurship, and we'll start with that in our first segment. The three topics today for entrepreneurship are what got us started, pivoting, and networking. A couple questions came in this week around really, what got our business started back in 2005? Well, at that time, I was tired of being in the mall. Ironically, I'm back there now on a part-time basis, but I saw an opportunity to create a new business for myself. And in my entrepreneurship classes, I have my students fill out a form called the Ice House Opportunity Canvas. And with this, one of the key questions is, what problem are you solving? And or what need are you filling? And we had a creep, and we had a $300 consultant working with us. And so I found an opportunity to not be creepy and to charge somewhere in between that price point. And ironically enough, there was a need there to provide a trusted source of support to come into your home, along with a price point that was reasonable and didn't break the bank. And through the years, all of our businesses have kind of started with that model of problem solving or need filling. 5 years ago, we launched an internship program, and that came out of filling a need for me, which was expanding my company and growing into what it is today, a company with two partners, 8 project managers, and a number of virtual interns and freelancers supporting us. But that really started with finding a need and filling it once again. And I reached out to 5 of my former students and said, hey, would you be interested in working about 5-7 hours a week and providing me with some support? And they did things like marketing and human resources and business development and networking for me. And it really helped me grow my business. And by finding the need and filling it and providing students with the opportunity to gain experience that no one else was really willing to do for them, we created a business out of it. And today, many of those interns have become freelancers, and many of those freelancers have become project managers. And even my own business partner, you know, finding her need and filling it in terms of providing her with, you know, some secondary income to provide for her family's needs, to give her work that was meaningful, and to provide her a way to reconnect with the education community. So with any of our businesses, it's about finding those needs and filling it. The second point about entrepreneurship I wanted to cover today is pivoting. I got to meet James Spencer, who's a very influential member of the team at RPI here in upstate New York, and I got the opportunity to speak to at his event, the Business Opportunities and Success Summit, back in 2013. And the theme of this event was mastering the art of the pivot. And in talking with James as he was preparing for this event, I realized at many points in my life I've had to pivot with my business and make changes accordingly. And he gave me the opportunity in the forum during that talk to talk how I grew from a one-person solopreneur to running a company with two partners and multiple project managers, and how providing opportunities and pivoting when necessary needed to happen. I was involved in websites and internet marketing for a couple of years, and it wasn't really our forte and not something we necessarily enjoyed. You know, we'd do a $1,000 project for somebody building a low-end website, and they'd expect more and more work after the fact, after the product was produced. And I just didn't want to deal with that anymore. Now, we still do some minor updates and maybe some content creation here inside the company, but we've sourced that work out to others who enjoy that work more and can do it better and faster and with a little bit more resources than we could provide. And we pivoted and realized we love being in the classroom. And now, with our knowledge of the website that we do have around content creation and pulling people in to see more about the business, we've been able to attract better clients and work in the field we want to do, which is that personal business training that, customized, come to our office, five times over 8 weeks for an hour and a half each, and work with us to prepare for a PMP exam or become a manager or manage your time better, to come into a company, or most recently we worked at the United Nations and did a full-day event on business communication. Now, pivoting into the work that we love. And without pivoting, we would be still doing the work that drove us nuts and didn't really bring in money to the bottom line. So don't hesitate to pivot. Take the opportunity to make those subtle changes before you're forced to do so. So we talked about what got us started. We talked about the pivot. And now I'll talk briefly about networking. One of the common questions we get a lot at Mean Business is, what works for you? And if you tuned into one of my previous podcasts, I went into a lot more detail on this topic, but just to touch on some things that work well for us, I'll talk about three of them: the coffee talk, LinkedIn, and networking event follow-up. I'm always happy to meet people for coffee, especially people I really enjoy talking to. And in a 15 to 30 minute coffee conversation, whether it be a first meeting or a prospecting meeting, you can find out about so much about somebody in a one-on-one conversation. And I like that 15 to 30 minute length, especially early in the morning, because it creates some clarity on start and finish. It gives people enough time where you're not rushing them out. And you both say, hey, I've got time from 8 to 8:30. Do you want to grab a coffee? And then if it finishes at 8:15, you don't feel bad about it. But in those intimate talks, I really get to know so much about people, and it's a valuable use of time. LinkedIn, we'll have a whole re-update of our podcast we did in the past on LinkedIn, because it still continues to evolve. But I'm on there daily, reading a great book called The Slight Edge by Jeff Olson. And in it talks about, in the book, it talks about those things that you can do well over time by doing it over and over again in a methodical fashion, things that may be boring. And I spend 5 minutes three times a day on LinkedIn, 6 days a week, and make some connections, reach out to people, connect people, and it's an invaluable way to network. Networking event follow-up. My business partner and I last night spoke at the Saratoga Tech Talks here that are run by Chris Thompson, who runs a very successful company called Work Orders, based here in Saratoga Springs. Each month, I think it's the third Wednesday of every month, they do a 90-minute networking event with three or four 10-minute presentations, along with some networking before and after the event. We had about 7 to 10 minutes. Honestly, I think we over-prepared a little bit, so it wasn't our best performance, but during that time, we did a great job, especially Michelle, of sharing with people what we do and follow up after the fact. If you're at a networking event, you want to make sure that you give people a taste of what you do and then create context for follow-up. So sure enough, I've got a coffee meeting with one person. I got two emails somebody sent me. I followed a couple people on Twitter, and I sent up some follow-up resources on our own website. So if you weren't able to go to Saratoga last night, you can go to BronteEnterprises.com/Saratoga, Saratoga, and take a look at the list of resources that are available that we shared last night. So if you go to an event, it's not about collecting business cards. It's about making those real connections. Shifting into our second segment of the week, project management, we're going to talk today about three themes, and these are things we alluded to last night in our Saratoga talk, which was called Collaborating in the Cloudy Cloud, Basecamp, a tool, not a tirade, Schedule Once, Hybrid Collaboration. Point one, on Basecamp, basecamp.com is a project management tool we've been using for the past 2 to 5 years, I think it is now, and it was introduced to me by one of my guest speakers when I was teaching a project management course, and it's something I decided to take on and use for our own company. And why I say it's a tool, not a tirade, is very often when you adapt a resource like Basecamp or Google Drive or any number of other resources that are out there, you don't want to get married to the thing, you know. And so I encourage my staff all the time to not turn it into a tirade. I can't find anything on Basecamp, or it's too confusing. And I hate that word. It's one of my new swear words, as I like to say. I hate when I hear confused and frustrated and busy and I'm not on time, because they're cop-out words. But when we've been using Basecamp, the best time to use it is as a tool only and not as your be-all, end-all for your communications with your team. You have to post to-dos, you know, put deadlines up, have some free-form discussion, post resources, keep it organized, but make it work for you. You know, they set up a great canvas. I got to meet Jason Fried at a talk last year and talk to him briefly about the company and how they put everything together. And it's a really great resource. Definitely check it out, basecamp.com. They do have some trial periods, and we're on the $50 a month membership, but they have a number of levels depending on your area of interest. And for those of you that might want to test it out, email us at info@Brathe, B-R-A-A-T-H-E, enterprises.com. So again, info@BratheEnterprises.com. We'd be happy to invite you to take a look at our Basecamp and maybe see ways you can collaborate with us. And what's great is you pay and you can have unlimited users, so you can invite people in to collaborate with you. You can have a certain number of projects, and so it's a great way for me to stay on track with my clients. Schedule Once. Gone are the days where you need to play, hey, Mary, are you available next week to talk? Oh, sure, what day is good for you? And you bounce back and forth through email and phone call and phone call and follow-up, and it just it gets to be a nuisance. So go to ScheduleOnce.com, a great tool. I have the $5 a month membership, and it creates some timeliness and some frequency to calls. I give people the link to mine, which is meetme.so/Robert Brathe, and people can schedule a 15 or 30-minute call, and I can accept it or not, and block it into a time of day that's convenient for me. And it integrates with a lot of the popular calendar programs out there. And so I have access to it on my iPhone, on my Google Calendar, and a variety of other places as I see fit. And between those two tools, you know, being able to manage my appointments and manage my projects, it makes life a lot easier with project management. And the third point, which my colleague Michelle and I talked about last night, is this hybrid collaboration method. With the two of us, even though we live in close proximity, we have about an hour to an hour and a half a week where we have meetings. Usually we do an hour meeting, maybe a phone call, and some texts back and forth. But we kind of follow the hybrid model. And during that power hour or two, we make sure that time is extremely valuable and we're talking about high-end issues. You know, things that just need quick clarification, we might do a text message, and we might use Skype to talk in and have some face-to-face if we're not able to see each other on a regular basis. So with project management, you've got to become a hybrid and be willing to use online tools effectively in conjunction with traditional tools. You know, that face-to-face meeting can be replicated by a Skype, but when you want or when you can, it's also very good to make sure that you have that real-time FaceTime and make sure it's the right time of day. You know, we were meeting on Sunday nights for a couple of years, and it kind of delved more into personal chat and maybe not so much work, and we decided as a company, let's move those meetings to during the week and find a better forum like a coffee shop or a meeting after both of our classes like we're going to be doing in the next couple of weeks. To make things a little bit more systematic and seamless while still valuable. So find what format works for you, but if you can find two or three mediums that you're comfortable collaborating with your team, and in our case it's face-to-face, the phone call slash text message, or the Skype message, you're going to have yourself in good shape. So those are some project management tips for today. If you'd like to know some other resources, you can go to www.brotheenterprises.com/project-management and see some of the different options we have for helping you with your projects or helping you get certified in project management or to learn some of the fundamentals in a short format, in a team format, or in a one-on-one format. Again, this is Mean Business with Robert Brothe from Brothe Enterprises. Our call-in number for each episode is 516-387-1411, and we're always up for hearing questions and comments around entrepreneurship, project management, human resources, or really anything related to people that mean business and take business seriously. Our Skype is Robert Brothe. You can reach us there as well. Our Twitter is Robert J. Brothe, and you can schedule an appointment with us at meetme.so/Robert Brothe. The third main segment for today is about human resources and tips for you and your aspiring human resources career or your needs at your office or company. And our three points today are going to be recruiting before you need to, building recruiting talent, and the doers versus the promisers. Recruiting before you need to. We grew faster than we ever imagined with our mentorship slash internship apprenticeship program. And we were drowning in help, to be honest with you. And what we found is, you know, with all this help, we really recruited before we needed to. And with bringing people in as interns or freelancers, it enabled us to test people out, see their professionalism, see what they were capable of doing. Some of our freelancers now are former interns who did really great work at graphic design, who may have done some great work at publishing. You know, a couple of our interns have helped us publish books. You can check them out on Amazon. We have a book called Humans versus Human Resources. And we also have Be Grateful, a gratitude journal featuring gratitudes that I've posted over the years on my Facebook wall. And we've always recruited before we need to, because you don't want to be in that situation where you're hiring in a panic. Great companies today will recruit before they need to and hire plenty of part-time talent and leave that carrot of a full-time opportunity for those who make it satisfactorily through a probation period or when opportunities come up, when a part-timer does leave, all those full-time opportunities are really internal candidates. So that might be a great approach to take. So we've really developed a talent pool or a talent farm here where we've recruited before we needed to and developed those people and their skills, knowledge, and abilities, knowing that they've got the right personality and the right attitude and the right preferences that match up with what we do here. So as we get into the heat of hiring season, I got to do some work at a career fair yesterday doing resume critiques. There was a great technology and manufacturing career fair last night. Some great companies around here that I saw at some of these career fairs were Quad Graphics, Sports Sign Up, which is now called Sports Illustrated Play, and a number of other ones. It's a hot season for recruiting. People are back at school. People are, you know, starting to identify their needs for the fourth quarter of the year. This is a great time to find a job, to find a project, and it's also a great time to recruit before you need to. So some of you may want to start considering, why not back up my recruiting cycle a little bit into the summer months and take advantage of trying to find that talent and nurture it? And that's where LinkedIn, I think, definitely comes in as well. So here we really have a talent farm, and we're starting to develop people in some of those jobs that companies want to fill. Customer service representative, data analyst, project manager, customer relationship management. Those are the roles that companies really want to fill, and why not develop that talent from within so when that job opportunity comes up, they may consult Brothay Enterprises and say, hey, who do you have on your team that's ready to go from the minor league baseball business to the major league baseball business? And so one of our mottos around our recruiting and our business is we're the minor league baseball for major league business. So people come here. We don't expect them to stay, especially if they're an intern or a freelancer. We want them to find a part-time job, a full-time job, launch a business, learn something from us, and take it from here, and then really mean business and go out there and apply those skills in a meaningful way. When you do recruit, you want to build recruiting talent and have them do things like source resumes, screen candidates, do mock interviews, or do real interviews. And one of the problems I identified in my organization was I had too soft of a filter when it came to people. I was grateful that people were coming to me and finding me and wanting to come work for Brothay Enterprises. However, I let a few people through that I might not let through anymore because I didn't really go through a strong enough screen to make sure they would be that 9 or 10 candidates versus anybody that came through. And we were using other sites that had been very useful, like internships.com. But now we've gotten back to the basics of let's work with colleges directly. Let's work from referrals of other interns. Let's work with the colleges like Baker College, who's really good with providing us with virtual interns. We've had some great interns from Schenectady Community College, from Skidmore, from Penn State, from the University of Central Florida. These are schools that have always worked well with us. And by getting the noise down, I'm able to then put some of my interns into the process of screening some of those resumes that come through, getting the opportunity to learn how to do an interview, and then pass along to me the ones that they really feel did well. And 8 to 10 times out of 10, those candidates that they've identified have done a really good job of presenting themselves, and they actually come through and be great interns. And the word of caution for this week for human resources is identifying the doers from the promisers. And you can run into promisers all the time. And when we get into our final segment today called The Insultant, you'll hear about some of these people and the titles they give themselves or the things they talk about that kind of inflate them versus them actually having some accomplishments. The sign of a promiser: I was nominated for class president. Well, you didn't win it. Why would you even mention something you're nominated for? Is it that big of a deal? I'm going to be your best employee. I don't want to hear about that now. I want to hear about that after the fact. Characteristics of a doer: I've raised my family. I've returned back to school. Got about 10 hours a week available that I know I can handle this internship. Great example. I am a student who takes 18 credits. I know it sounds like I'm very busy, but I can fit this into my schedule, and I know that these are some things that I would like to be involved in. So they're talking about their involvement, not the promises they're going to make. So be mindful of that. And I'd be love to hear some stories of doers versus promisers. If you got some great promisers examples, great doers examples of those characteristics, again, send us a Skype message at Robert Brathe, tweet us at Robert J. Brathe, or you can give us a call anytime when we're on air at 516-387-1411. You can also schedule a call with us at meetme.so/Robert Brathe. Before we wrap things up today, we'd like to have our Andy Rudy-like segment called The Insultant. When was the last time you ran into somebody who is a thought leader guru, who's a subject matter expert and a professional, a ninja, and their last name has Esquire after it? You know these people that think they need a title to be vital, and it's ridiculous. What exactly is a thought leader? Come on, are you some kind of cult leader? It's ridiculous. And a self-named guru? Give me a break. And if you're a subject matter expert, I'll know that if I've come to your talk and then say, hey, you should go see this person. They know what they're talking about. Don't refer to yourself as a subject matter expert. And professional, give me a break. I see that all the time in HR and marketing. I'm an HR professional. Oh, thanks, sir. Thanks for letting me know. I'm a marketing professional. Why do you have to put professional after your title? You're in the job. I'm in marketing. I do marketing. I work in human resources. You don't have to self-inflate yourself with the title professional. I don't even have any idea what a ninja is, and there's companies that call themselves ninjas, and you know, that one's just another annoying one. But one of the most annoying ones is when I drive by a law office and they have to tell me they're Attorney Dave Smith, Esquire, Attorney at Law. Do you have to have three titles on your name? Pick one. And why do you have to put an Esquire after your name? Give me a break. You don't need a title to be vital. And that's the insultant for today. Thank you for tuning in to our Mean Business podcast. We look forward to bringing you future episodes as the week go on. Again, get in touch with us at BratheEnterprises.com. You can Skype us at Robert Brathe. Our Twitter handle is Robert J. Brathe. And feel free to schedule a call at meetme.so/Robert Brathe. Our email address for any comments or questions for the show is info@BratheEnterprises.com. Brathe Enterprises, your start is our art. You can start a business here, start learning something here, or start a career. Have a great day.